everybody, I hope you're having a great day. I just wanted to come on here and say, first of all, thank you for tuning in. And also, this episode is a little bit more raw. I could have edited the episode more, but I really love the creative energy and playfulness of it all. Nick and I recorded this episode before the official launch of the podcast, but after recording the first episode, so a little timeline info for you there. And in it, there are dogs walking around, and it's in the middle of morning routine, and it's my very favorite place in the world. And we also talk about some rad realizations and life moments, so I hope you enjoy. All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Jess. Welcome to Table Talk.
Your voice sounds really great right now.
Thank you. No kidding. It does. It's nice and calm, not impacted by anybody else's energy.
That's what's so great.
Yeah.
I also wanted to see if I could make you blush really quick.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Always.
So, should I read this or just give context?
Just read it.
Okay.
And even if we have to, like, go back through and provide, insert context and then the conversation.
Oh, I like that.
That'll be fun. But, like, this is a snippet of our conversations. Who else has wild conversations? Because you are our people.
That's the people. This is the lighthouse for you.
Yes.
What would be, like, a different version of, a lighthouse, but for, like, 2024? Like, what are the beacons? This is just an open-ended question.
No, but I like that question.
Right? Like, what's the 2024 equivalent of a lighthouse, right? Because the lighthouse was for the people in the boat, right?
Yeah.
The red sky in the morning. Sailors take warning. Red sky in the day, better stay at the bay. That's not how it goes.
It's hot. It's a Nikki version. Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure.
But what is, right? What is the equivalent? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The internet? Like, where do you go when you're looking for...
Yeah, so it's like that...
it's no longer like a physical place in a community, is it?
No, but it's like that beacon of hope, you're right. So, what...
Like, literally.
Yes. So, like what groups do you follow or people do you follow that provide that light into your life, like, first thing in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or whenever you need it, really. But my preference is first thing in the morning.
Well, I just, like... It's you. So, like, that's right. It's people.
It's the people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yesterday...
Wait, let me get a pen.
Okay. I did, without too much intention, because in order for me to, like, let my brain...
It's a brainstorm, for
sure. Yeah, well, I have to, like, be driving, listening to music, and then... If I can insert something creative, it'll happen. And I'll just, like, all of a sudden, just the creativity pours out of me. Nice. If I don't, it'll be driving. And I'll just have to, like, jot it down when I get to stoplights and stuff. So this is the podcast description that I took. And then I, did stream of consciousness, wrote it out, and then asked AI to turn it into
just
a marketable
talk to me.
Concept. That's what I did. That's what I'm... Okay, yes. That's what I did.
You've got
I'm trying to... I'm in, like, the voice of, like, let me tell other people.
Okay. Yeah. You've got your representative
Thank
Nikki
you.
Voice up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to hold your hand so that I can stay here.
Ground you.
Thank you. Okay. So I put it in there. I put what I wanted to say, and then I told the AI to, like, make this a description that... networks will fight over. So this is what it wrote.
That who will fight over?
Networks. Yeah, like who wants to fund it. Okay.
Oh.
So the podcast title it suggested was Suburban Dad Memoirs.
Nice.
Join Jess Forshee, a non-binary suburban dad navigating the complexities of modern relationships and family dynamics in Suburban Dad Memoirs. In this compelling podcast, Jess shares Their journey of love, growth, and authenticity, alongside Nikki, a renowned psychologist who has recently come out to her husband Dan with their two kids, Violet 7 and Zane 12. This unconventional family finds a way to thrive in their new reality. Set in the heart of Metro Detroit, Jess and Nikki explore what it means to build a blended family, challenge societal norms while leading with love over fear. As they move into the home Nikki and Dan built together, the dynamics shift, prompting deep conversations about identity, acceptance, and the meaning of family. Through heartfelt stories, candid discussions, and expert insights, Suburban Dad Memoirs captures the essence of a generation embracing diversity and redefining love. Join us for a journey filled with laughter, tears, and beautiful messiness of life as we answer the question, can we truly make it work? Get ready for a podcast that's not just about suburban life, it's about living authentically in an ever-evolving world. Tune in and discover how love can conquer all, even in the most unconventional challenges.
I love it. What is there a non-binary term for parent besides parent?
We need to put one. Yeah, I don't know why it...
No, I don't think it exists.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, why? Like, did it choose that or are there other options?
No. Yeah. So I'm saying, my thought process behind that was we could leave it Suburban Dad Memoirs.
That's a good one, though. It's like the different forms of...
Yeah. Yes. And we could also do the book that's like Diary of Mad Queer Women, but like use the women with the X. Like,
a Suburban Dad Memoir should include that.
Ooh.
It's like diaries from... Yeah, write that down. Where are you going with that? You have to say it out loud.
I don't know.
It's happening in your brain.
It is happening in my brain. Suburban Dad Memoir. Okay, I like murdered your pen.
No, you did not. You're just not used to like being so rough with it like I am. I just like press down really hard.
But this is where our journals come in. The Diaries of Mad Queer Women.
It's like the diaries of like mad cool and awesome. Let's see. I looked to see.
Not mad. Rad.
Oh no.
Yep. Bringing it back.
That's genius. I like that.
Because then, this can shed a light on past, right?
Or if it... Yes.
Past perspective.
It can even be Suburban Dad Memoirs and then something like...
past perspective.
Like the life and times of rad queer women. Or... I'm like trying to figure so.
And they might be separate, and that's okay.
I like them both, though.
Me too.
They fit together somehow.
They do.
Which is kind of amazing because it's almost. I just keep thinking in terms of like the role of a father and like how that's changed and evolved over time because of the way we partner and the way we choose partners.
What do you mean, the role of other?
Say that again. Go back up. What are you asking? Oh, the role of father.
Okay.
Like, of what a father is.
Oh, yeah, because, like, it's not... There's not gender roles, right? It's more of, like, a mutual agreement between partners. Like, we don't have, like, man chores and woman chores anymore, right? It's more based on your skill set and, like, a mutual agreement between partners. However, I think that's where people lack, right, is that their expectations of their partner isn't, like, voiced or written down. Like, there's no quote-unquote contract written for that, and so people like jump the gun and get married, but like they haven't really talked about like how to handle life or conflict or anything like that.
But like, how do you evaluate for that? That's exactly what you're saying. Like, that is so true, because how do you
feel like that needs to be written?
Like, we talk about not leaving room for error, right? Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. It's like the things that we don't explore or like share information about through generations, we just kind of like all sort of guess and end up with the same result because we're very limited tools and resources until someone else has another idea.
But
what did you just say that made me think? What were you talking about right before this?
How do you evaluate for
like
skills and abilities,
right?
It's like we need an aptitude test for relationships.
But it's almost like for yourself.
Yes.
Right? Like, you have to be so honest with, like, what are you at? Like, you don't want to be in a situation where you're like, well, I'm willing to do all these things. But if you're not, are those the things that you think that you'll need to do as a partner? Because if they are not, or they're things that you don't actually, you know, are not invested or wanting to do with whatever it is, like, you're just going to be resentful.
Yes.
So it's like, how do we be honest enough with ourselves to know, like, not basing it on, like, possible future selves, right? Like, a lot of, historically in therapy, like, women get in relationships hoping men will change, and men get in relationships hoping women will stay the same. It's very interesting.
Interesting. This is a wild fact. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the fact that, we'll have to find the exact statistic, but it's, like, a huge percentage of your happiness relies on, how you picked a partner.
I think you were saying, like, 70 or 80% or
That's
something.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah. Because there's so many factors. But then also, like, your own ability to... You're building your own habitat. And so if you, you know, if we build a habitat for geckos, but we're trying to raise birds, like, that's, like, not a great, like, we could probably make it work. Not well.
It won't be a community where you can thrive, right? Ooh. Or an environment, but that, like, proves how well people,
because that's logical, right?
Yes.
Of course not.
But it proves, like, how well people can flourish given their environment. And if you're not in a healthy environment, what does that do to you?
Yeah,
right? So, like, the environmental factors, given your age, right? If you're an adolescent, it's hard to change that. But if you're an adult, like, how do you navigate those changes, right? Mm-hmm. Because your neural pathways are still pliable and plastic. And so how do you, like, navigate that change and move through life?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, our thinking is, like, well, what if you made those decisions when the stakes were lower, when you were in college?
Yeah.
Right? Like, as I was older, like, being 42, like, this felt like high stakes. This is still high stakes.
Mm-hmm.
It just, but, again, like, we're doing the unpopular thing. Because I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to wake up Zane.
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
And you can just chat about things. Yeah, and then we'll just have to decide. Like, I feel like, yeah, this is, we're off to a good start with some of this stuff. But, yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Oh, the different contexts with which the role of, like, suburban dad or just dad in general has to be met. Or it's had to be met in different ways because the system of pairing, like, partnering is kind of broken. We just never learned.
Say that again. Context with which suburban dad?
Oh, like, who plays that role has changed.
Who plays that and how?
Yeah.
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 Where are my, if you think of it as a screenplay, right? Like,
yeah.
What are the motions that also need to go with the words, right?
Ooh. Like, yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's a good metaphor. I love, like, I know we've talked about this before, but when something so logical looked at one way, like, looks so crazy in another way, right? Like, you would not try to raise mice in the habitat built for fish. Like, you just wouldn't.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know that we know tangibly, like, at the root of it, what kind of habitat do we need? And it includes safety and love.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't just, like, for fun, if you feel like it. Like, that's, like, part of bonding. We see it in all species. Oh.
Yes, I'm nice. Okay. Thank you for this.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to back it up a little bit and talk about how impactful your environment is. So if we think about your environment and how it helps you grow, right? If you have a plant that's not doing well, it's not that the plant is wrong, right? It's that the environment is wrong. Something's going on that's not allowing it to flourish. So it's the same with humans, right? Like, if you don't have an environment where you feel safe, you grow differently because you have layers of defense mechanisms because of trauma, and your neural pathways grow differently, which actually causes genetic expression to be different. So literally your DNA changes based on your environment. So what if we could go back to the beginning and figure out what actually makes us feel safe? In order to do that, we would have to go back through layers of trauma and heal. You know, some people define that as the dark night of the soul or depression, right? But a lot of it goes along with, let me tell you this way. So in all of these, the healing journey is not for the faint of heart, because along with all of this becoming comes cycles of grief, right? And a need to let go of certain things so that you can move forward. But these things have been ingrained in your neural pathways, right? Neurons that fire together, wire together. So if you change your neural pathways and you change the things that fire together so they wire differently, who can you become? How different will your life look? And it starts with a 1% change. Because that 1% change every day was baby steps. Provide exponential results over time. And it's much easier to change baby step by baby step than it is to tear down your whole life and start again. Believe me, I know that one. I feel like I've gone through a quarter life crisis and maybe a third life crisis. But I had to go back and understand where I didn't get it right and understand the lesson that I missed so that I can move forward. And it's been quite the journey. And I'd recommend it to anybody. I can't tell you how much my life has changed and how differently I think. And the people that I found along the way.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so waking up Zane, I had an idea.
An epiphany. You should see the sound wave of your footsteps.
Oh god. This is not good.
Do you see this?
Oh my god.
That's you.
Clomping around.
Clomping around. Pum, pum,
pum, pum. Something I realized is that I don't know how to walk.
Yeah, right?
That has changed my life. Like, just it seems so silly, but people make comments like since I was little, like, why do you walk like that? I thought it was like a compliment. Like, oh, you walk so cool. No, it's because I walk
so fast. Just clomp around.
Yes. No. Well, I told you, Zane, on the LifeSafe 60, it says I'm on a bike. Like, when they see me, I'm like, I'm not on a bike. I'm literally just walking.
You have an aggressive heel strike.
Yes. Like, yeah. Why? Like, for what? Right?
I don't know. I used to. And then I understood, like, how I walked. And I was like, oh, your body's not supposed to move that way. Anatomically, it's supposed to move this way. Your hips are actually supposed to move when you walk. It helps energy move through your system.
See, that's the thing where, like, if things get, like, we, like, comparing it in a different way, and it makes this sound crazy, right? Of course, it's like a kink in the hose, right? We're not gonna, we could try to use it with the kink, but, like, we need to get those out to experience the full experience of the energy of a hose.
Full flow.
Yeah, same, right? Like, that's the same thing. But, like, people in my world, like therapy and psychology and all of that, like, we think about these things intellectually, but I don't know if there's like a tangible connection. Like, I have a new understanding of like how I even use that with clients to sort of, I think it comes down to not counting yourself when you look at a group of people. You know, like, this is true for people, but forgetting that, like, you are people.
I'm an alien. That's
right.
Fine.
Like a group of people. It's great for you to, you know, drink your half your body weight in ounces in water because that's how your body works and what it needs. It's like, no, literally, like, that's actually like, fact. That's not like a suggestion.
But like, so I have ADHD, right? And with ADHD, it's like out of sight, out of mind. I don't really look at myself very often, right? Like reflect on my life. So what did you just say? I lost my thought.
We don't count ourselves like in the group.
But water. Okay.
Yes. I love how.
But like, if you don't do that, what are the consequences? That's how I have to look at my life nowadays.
No, because that's important.
Because if somebody just tells me to do something, I'm like, eh, whatever, that's fine. Like, I know somebody told me to do it, but like, if I don't know like the natural consequences of that, it's like,
oh. Or there isn't one like that you can tangibly, or it's not short, like long term. It's like not short term enough to cause change.
Right.
Or discomfort enough. To...
Yes. But it's like the long term consequences, right? Yeah. Like how are you impacting your life if you don't?
This is kind of like what we're experiencing as a result of 2020 now, if you think about it.
Explain.
Like the things that that came up. So you were just using an example of, say that again.
Long-term consequences for short-term. If you have ADHD, your mind is moving so fast. So like you don't, sometimes you don't see the long-term consequences because you're so like.
Well, like think, okay, so that's where I was going. Like think about, so every single person on the planet went into fight or flight pretty much during 2020, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like what had to be, and that we're unprepared, we're whatever. So like whatever coping came out during that time, right? Mm-hmm. For many people, I know for me, there's a lot of short term, right? We're almost dealing with the consequences of some of those short term, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just don't know how to choose better.
Yeah.
So like, I know for me, I'm like, dang, there's a lot of stuff that I'm having to deal with now because of how I coped during that then, but like, I couldn't have done it different necessarily.
Well, same, right? So like I struggled, started using my representative.
I know.
I'm sorry.
It's very cute. That's great. This is the part where you tell your story. Yeah.
So like I struggled like with drinking during the pandemic and using edibles. And it was because like I was taken out of my work environment, right? Put back home. And then the only people I saw were my family sometimes. But my family is in survival mode, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't view the world through a lens of, like, hope like I do. And so there's all this, like, negativity. And I got so bogged down by it because I'm a fixer in my family, right? Like, I...
Well, and your value, right, may have been coming externally, right, at work. What can I... produce, where's the praise I can get to make sure so that I know that I'm like a quality human, right? Not from relationships and mirroring and right, none of that.
Or intrinsic, right?
No, like 100%, yeah.
Yeah. And so I struggled with drinking, and the consequences of that was that I the alcoholism that resides in my family line came out. Mm-hmm. And I struggled for quite a while to like get rid of that coping mechanism and the need to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to really pivot my life and look at it and be like, hey, so what do alcoholics do? Like, what are the signs of that? Like, drinking every night. Like,
when you had to remind yourself, like, I am like everyone else. Like, I also, you know.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not above data, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that, I keep thinking about that. No, that's true. But I think... like taking the thing that's rare, and I think it's just because of how your brain works, is that you were able to take that as like a power moment for yourself.
Yeah. Do you have to go potty?
Oh, you want to go out, son? Let's go. I'll finish this thought, son, and I'll take you out.
What would you like me to write down so you don't forget?
Thought was, Sonny,
come here. She's okay.
She's like, come on. She thinks there's food. I was gonna say, I was thinking about how, like in therapy, it's really like to get to the point where you're ready to make the change is like, that's like the end of it. Like there's so much work on the front end. And I think about how different that is for you. Like, I had to be led emotionally to make choices, right? Like, I couldn't use just logic. But I would start doing things like I read Sober Curious. Like, I was like, it's so funny because I couldn't, like, fully admit, like, these are problems that I had. But I could, like, entertain that. Mm-hmm. And being a therapist, you can hide anything.
Right. You're like,
the lens of research.
You're like, I just want some more information on this. Yeah, 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, why do therapists see the collection over the like, communities of clients they see? Maybe different for some, but I know for me, as you know, like internally, like I want to learn the things really about myself, but I want to see it in other people.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna take a second.
Okay.
Zane's second alarm just went off.
Hey everybody, I know that ended very abruptly, but that was kind of the end of the time that we had. So I appreciate everybody listening, and I hope you tune in next week. Thanks. Have a great day.